This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Get the fax machines ready because today everybody in America gets better in college football. Every team in America today gets better.
And they're signing exactly who they want.
Got everybody. We were a better football team today than we were yesterday.
You know, when we set out a year and a half ago to start prospecting the 2022 class, we looked at these 16 individuals and we said, if we can get all 16 of these guys right here, we will be a much better football team.
I like the teams that sign like 37 guys. And you go, oh, in the limit 25? Yeah, we
got
to figure it out.
We got some economics today.
Yeah, we got some transfer portal things going on there. All right, nevertheless,
we will get you covered. So we're your home for signing day until 10 o'clock.
That's what we've been promoting nonstop here on ACC Network. As you'll find out, Wes and I really are on top of it. And we will break it all down for you. We'll take your calls, like I said, 844.
Sure.
Say ACCN. We have two guests for you today live. That would be Leonard Hamilton from Florida State and Dave Clawson from Wake Forest.
Now, that is a signing day special right there, Dave Clawson.
Well, those two have something in common, and that's the only tease I'm going to give you for the show today. They have something in common, Dave Clawson and Leonard Hamilton. Hmm. We'll get to that later in the show.
All right.
All right, before we get to all this stuff, because we got football obviously on the brain, Dabo had his press conference yesterday in terms of changes. Mike Novell had a good day yesterday. ACC hoops last night. We'll get into all that stuff. We'll preview what's going on.
You were worried with about 10 minutes to go in basketball games last night.
I was. I put a group text out.
You were not happy.
Alert, alert. Because I said yesterday we had five men's games. We need to go 5-0. And there was the red alert popped up last night at your house.
10 minutes to go. There was a Pac-Man text. Yeah. And it was hot.
I wasn't hot. I was just concerned. But we'll get to all of that. All right. But first, Mr. Durham.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday there was a package delivered. I opened it up because I have no idea who it's from.
We don't know who it's from?
No, but it goes to Mark and Wes. So I'm going to let you have the honors. I opened the top, but I don't know what's inside. Is that a note?
Oh. Oh. Hello, fellows. Thanks for all the shout-outs. Happy flying from the P&D drone program, Captain Ron and Otto.
Oh. No wonder why there wasn't a name on
Captain
it.
Captain Ron and Otto.
Captain Ron bringing.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it cash?
Nope. It's better. No, it's better. That one's for you.
I want it to be cold, hard cash.
That one's for you.
Somebody's asking for
you want some name, image, and likeness?
Hey, Pac, what do you want for Christmas? Cash?
Look at this. Got a little gift card right here on top of it.
Boy, this is the biggest bourbon bottle I've ever seen.
Captain Ron and Otto.
All right.
Rich, I don't know if you can shoot that, but it's signed Captain Ron and Otto this morning.
We opened it today. We wait for it.
No, I think we should open this.
This is too
Captain Ron sitting over there in the corner, lounging out. Oh, the dogs come a-running.
Well, they think it's food. They always think it's food.
They might be right. Oh, my goodness.
Woodford Reserve Bourbon Balls. God, those sound like they're terrible.
Wow.
Yeah, those won't be any good. Hey, boys, guess what? See this box? You're not going to get any of these.
You're not getting any of that.
Thank you,
Captain Ron. I'm keeping the bag, too. Thanks, Captain Ron.
Man, how about that?
I'm going to give Captain Ron a gift.
So, Miss Jean, let me replay the order. I don't need the world-famous Miss Jean bourbon bars. I'll just go lemon squares for Miss Jean.
How about that?
Got Woodford Reserve bourbon balls. Not just your ordinary bourbon ball. Mm-mm. Top of the line bourbon balls.
You guys are welcome to come down there to Georgia.
Like that.
Around Christmas time.
Give that a free promo.
Yeah, right there. I'm going to set the. Look at the decorative bag it comes in.
Like that. Captain Ron, Rob, appreciate that very much.
Otto, everybody in the back.
Yeah, drone flying fools.
Boys crashing stuff all over the place.
That's no doubt about that. That's nice.
All right, so ACC Network's got you covered today on signing day. Tonight at 6 o'clock, the huddle guys will gather around. Tom Luganville will join them. They'll break down the ACC. You'll find out every school. We're going to look back at the last 4 years today, and we're going to show you that you don't necessarily need a five-star to make a serious impact in the league. Because I think when we uncover some of this, people are going to be stunned.
I've always said, you know, I don't worry about recruiting rankings. I'm not one of those guys. But if you really want to get into it, look what you did 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
and just see what your roster looks like today. How many of these guys are still on your team? How many guys that were a five-star, a four-star, two-star, whatever, have developed and turned into players? How many guys that you thought, oh, my God, today we signed a five-star, four-star, Joey Jones, and, man, he's going to be the difference as a wide receiver, offensive lineman, quarterback, et cetera, and he can't play dead in a cowboy movie. It happens to every team in America. I don't care if you're Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, or if you're a roast beef A&M. When you sign your dude today and you think, man, we have finally got our guy, don't ask it today. Figure it out a couple years down the road. So we're going to look backwards a little bit today, going back to 2017, 18, 19, et cetera, and give you some examples of guys that were maybe two stars, three stars, four stars, five stars, and did they turn into stars? Yeah. And, you know, some coaches have a concept of, hey, I don't need the five-star guy. We can develop. Our guys get better over time. Right. We've seen that example. We've seen programs that have unbelievable recruiting classes where, guess what? The five-star dude turns out to be a five-star dude and goes on to become, I don't know, maybe the first pick in the NFL draft. So we're going to address going backwards to kind of prepare you to understand what today's all about. And like I said, every team in America today will get better because you've got talent coming in. Now let's see what you do with it. That's the key.
That's a good point. And I think right now you have to know, too, that the ACC, according to our ESPN recruiting analyst, have 9 of the top 50 classes as we stand today. Now, we all know things can change on signing day, but here's a look at the scoreboard, if you will. Carolina and Florida State looking at top 10 classes. Clemson, Virginia Tech, BC, Georgia Tech all in the top 30. NC State, Duke, and Virginia. The last two of those are pretty interesting because they got brand new coaches. Will you see some guys go and some guys stay? Perhaps. And then there's always the guy who's been committed one place and ends up signing with somebody else when it comes to putting your John Hancock on the paper.
What is intriguing there is you don't see Miami. That's correct. Coach Cristobal on yesterday. In case you missed it, you'll get him again today. We'll replay it for you. And, you know, given the timing, again, Tony Elliott goes to Virginia. You know, Mike Elko shows up now at Duke. Cristobal down at Miami. What you do to try to cultivate whatever this early signing class looks like, do the best you can. Now, here's the other thing that comes into play here where I think you got to understand, man, we're disappointed because we're not in the top 25 or top 50 or whatever. There's now a thing called the transfer portal.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I think has changed everything. Because if you don't hit the target perfecto today with your signing, doesn't mean you can't go find that tight end you need or that offensive lineman you need or the running back. Hey, we got thousands of players that are looking for a home. So the transfer portal is a whole new animal. And at some point in time, I know Luges is going to be filling in for you Friday.
Yep.
That's right. I think we need to get into it. We'll do this more Friday than we will today because this is Tom's expertise. The trickle-down effect on the high school player because of the number of players in the transfer portal, there's got to be a trickle-down effect there. I mean, there's going to be a lot of high school kids that go, hey, today is my day, right? Today I get the opportunity to potentially sign the school XYZ. That may not be there because schools have said, you know what? Instead of taking the risk on a high school player, I'm going to go ahead to the transfer portal and find somebody with experience that can help me tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Well,
it's important.
I think the other part you bring up that stands out to me is it, Tom, if you've watched our show for any length of time, I think we were in the pandemic when Tom said that the kid that would be the most impacted by this was the rising junior in high school, and that was well over a year ago.
That's exactly right.
And
he's right.
He's absolutely right. I was telling you guys before the show, I spent some time with an FBS coach our FCS coach this past week talking about just kind of how recruiting is going, the influence of the portal as signing day approached. And, you know, you got to make some hard decisions if you're a coach at any level. But the transient nature of the way this has gone, Mark, has just made that job a lot harder. I mean, roster makeup, roster inventory. Remember how classes used to be balanced all the way through? There's no way, almost no way to control that, I don't think, anymore.
Well, given that the transfer portal is a wild, wild west, given name, image, and likeness,
it's wilder.
It's certainly wild, wild west. Lane Kiffin made a comment yesterday that basically he's finding out on the recruiting trail that, you know what, kids are saying, hey, this is what I'm getting paid over here. I mean, and now it's legit. It's no under-the-table nonsense. It's all in front of you. And because the NCAA wasn't successful in getting ahead of this,
right?
There's no national regulation or restrictions. And so if a school is smart and they've got the right amount of boosters, they can create whatever they want to legitimize whatever they want to do.
Yep.
And so, you know, before people were screaming at Lane Kiffin yesterday on our radio show, I was like, hey, that's not up for debate. This is a guy in the front row that's telling you this is what's out there. So that's what every school in America is up to. And if you're if you've got the ability to say, hey, you know what? We want this kid bad enough. Hey, there's a seven-figure deal waiting on you if necessary. And it's legitimate. That's where we are.
We have got a few things going on. Leonard Hamilton and Abe Clausen are here, in case you missed it. It's Mario Cristobal, Mike Elko, Tony Elliott.
Right.
That's all part of the show today.
Three newbies.
That's it. And we got a 5-0 basketball night to tell you about on the men's side.
Thank goodness.
Get that cranked up here. Pack was concerned now.
I was.
A legitimate, not red alert text. One of them was not Duke, however. The second-ranked Blue Devils beat South Carolina State last night by 41. A.J. Griffin poured in a season-high 19. He was 7 of 8 from the floor. And Griffin, remember, had been sidelined with an injury most of the preseason. The Blue Devils got the 19 from Griffin off the bench in beating the Bulldogs from down in Orangeburg 103-62. Louisville was the other big winner last night. Cards posted a 26-point victory last night over Southeast Louisiana. Malik Williams, a double-double. Louisville hit 52% of their shots from the floor last night. Southeast Louisiana was only 32.3%. They were only 6 of 33 from 3 last night as well. The story of the night might be Wake Forest, because Pack's text to the crew came with the Deacons down 10.
13.
13.
And I'm like, watch out. What are we doing here?
Key debts.
The key debts
are fighting Bill Blairs, the fighting Ron Carters.
Firing threes, backdoor cuts, and you're like, holy mackerel, who are these guys? Yeah. What is going on here in Winston-Salem?
Key debts. That's it.
But the Deacs figured it out, man.
Sure did. Last time Wake Forest overcame a 13-point halftime deficit was in 2007, so it had been a minute. Alondis Williams had 36 last night.
He went off.
I've been telling you.
Went a triple-double.
I know, but I've been reporting Alondis Williams. Last time a Wake player had that many in a ball game, Justin Gray had 38. I'm sure it was Georgia Tech in 2006.
Deacs were great from the free throw line too last night. They had to be.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a touch and go game. Like, you know, they're still down with 5 minutes to go. You're like, man, you know, come on, man, you got to win this game. What are we talking about?
Carolina beat Furman 74-61 last night. Good to see Dawson Garcia get after it. He had 20 points, season high 10 rebounds. Armando Bacot, 6 double-double in the last, I think, 8 ball games for Hubert Davis. Carolina is 24-2 all-time against Furman. You got to go back, friends, to the old Charlotte Coliseum.
North-South?
Not the one on Billy Graham Parkway.
You're talking about North-South? Chrome Dome?
Chrome Dome. Got to go back to when Stitch Moore and all those guys, right?
I remember listening to your dad doing those games.
Oh, yeah.
The old Chrome Dome.
Furman is up 14 with 4 minutes to go, and Coach Smith's not happy.
And the North-South doubleheader.
Those were that event, spectacular.
Yeah. And cigarette they used to have smoke in the upper tier. I mean, it wasn't an upper deck, but the top of the Chrome Dome, man, was filled with cigarette smoke.
You think one day we could do a show from in there? It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
The Chrome Dome?
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes down the
street. I know it is. I passed it the other night.
Bojangles Arena.
Well, okay.
We know people, Bojangles.
But here's the thing.
I saw AC/DC in there one night.
I remember. Remember the Italian restaurant that was next to it called Valentino's?
It was terrible. Absolutely awful.
But you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I ate
it. It had the big neon light.
Right.
Valentino's. It was like it was in New York City. It was on Independence
Clemson
Boulevard.
House. Whoever did the Clemson House neon sign did Valentino's.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. That was the highlight of that meal, was the sign.
Walking in the door of the restaurant, had the red walls and everything. Terrible. It was like it was in the middle of Manhattan.
Now you're waiting to see Sinatra and the Rat Pack in the corner. Sammy Davis Jr. Greeted you at the door.
Yeah.
Valentino's in Charlotte.
That's when Carolina lost. Those two losses to Furman occurred during the North-South doubleheader, by the way. That's what sparked all of this conversation.
I remember listening to your dad doing that.
All right. Last night also down at Little John. Oh, Tigers now.
It's another red alert.
Yeah, but you know what? Clemson battled back now.
They were down six with about 10, 12 to go.
The Indiana assassin was at it again last night. Alex Hemingway spotting up and dropping threes from all over the place. Clemson was 8 of 12 from three in the second half, 13 of 24 in the ball game. You're going to win a lot of games shooting threes like that. They get South Carolina on Saturday.
That'd be a good one. Gamecocks fresh off knocking off Florida State. Unfortunately, Leonard's going to have to talk to us about that coming up when he joins us at 8:30. But the league need to go 5-0 last night, and they did. Was it easy? No. There were a couple moments, but Wake and Clemson figured it out late second half to take care of it. And it's what you're supposed to do. You got to start winning some games.
One bit of coaching news. More on this coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Dabo Swinney did announce yesterday that he is promoting Wes Goodwin to become his new defensive coordinator and Brandon Streeter his new offensive coordinator. You'll hear from Dabo when we dive into that about 8:15 this morning. So there you go. You're up to date.
I'm not surprised with that. And, of course, Mike Norvell got a contract extension for 1 year. Good for him.
Yep. Added on to the back end of the existing deal.
So it's all good. And the fax machine is plugged in. So
Nobody sent anything, though.
It's never been used. It's been sitting there collecting dust for nearly 3 years since we've been doing the show. I appreciate ESPN spending upwards to $500. I mean, it's a beautiful-looking device, but never used.
Nothing, huh? Okay.
Got my thank you notes on top of it. That's what it's doing. It's pretty much holds like a shelf. ESPN, by the way, ESPN.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to give you a little transparency here. We'll take you behind the curtains.
The end is near.
I always say with this show, that we could get a phone call at 10:05 today and they go, hey, guys, we've really appreciated the effort, but we're going in a different direction. And if it's what it is, it is. But there's two things ESPN has sent me.
Okay.
Me personally, they've sent me a world-renowned fax machine that does apparently everything, and it's looks like it's two stories high.
It might be a scanner and a printer.
It's
all
of that.
Yeah, it's all that.
It's never been used.
I think some people thinking that we got the old Mr. Tudball
fax
machine.
No. ESPN's top of the line. There's no doubt about it, and it's sitting right there. Right now, to the right of the fax machine, ESPN has also sent me a computer. Now, I got this computer. When you and I were doing our rookie camp, they sent me a computer. And I knew instantly this will never be used. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't even know what the password is for it. And so it collects as much dust as the ESPN fax machine. It's sitting right there on my SiriusXM desk. Those are the two things they were given and never used. Ever used.
Yeah.
I wonder if they want those back when they shut this thing down. So you think that's possible? You think they're going to just say, Pack, you know what, just keep those. You know, whatever. I mean, how do you think they're going to work that out? What do you think? What would you
I know
say?
Your password, by the way.
Well, you can have the computer.
I don't
want.
Really want
that's how much. That's how interested I am in the computer.
I know, I understand.
That's all I got for you. That, I got bourbon balls, so what do I care?
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Social media is beautiful.
When news breaks out, we'll break in. Is
no,
that
what we're it's okay. Not breaking news.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a look backwards before we look forward today.
All right.
Because this really is important. This is an important exercise for people like us and even people that love recruiting and keep up with it profusely will understand what we're going through with this process. There are no guarantees on National Signing Day.
Correct.
When you sign a five-star, hey, you hope that that guy takes you to the promised land, whatever it may be. You hope he becomes not only great at your school, he goes on to the NFL, and life is good for all parties involved.
That's right.
They're not all guaranteed locks. Matter of fact, as you're going to find out when we look backwards a little bit, there's guys who are three stars and two stars that turn out to be superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to hit those home runs, too, if you're a coach going through this recruiting cycle.
Yeah. So we go back to 2017. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to show you the recruiting rankings of your school in the ACC. Here we go. This is 17 now. Florida State, Clemson, Miami, Virginia Tech were top 25. North Carolina, 28. Louisville, 29. Pittsburgh, Duke, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Syracuse, NC State was 51. Boston College, 63. Wake Forest, 65. Okay? You ready?
This to me is always more interesting than, hey, we got the 19th ranked class. Good for you. Means all right. Nothing to me today, but
here,
go ahead.
Here are the prominent five stars from the 2017 signing class. Cam Akers, Josh Kando, Marvin Wilson.
Turned out to be pretty good.
All three in the NFL. Yep.
I mean, again, that's where you got to throw a dart. If you hit a five-star, you hope they turn into these kind of dudes.
Yep.
Right?
Right there. Now, Wilson has bounced around a little bit. Akers is hurt this year. Kando is a core special teams guy. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, in the league.
So all right, guys.
Let's go to the four-stars. Let's get a look at some fours here. Huh. Matt Bockhorst. Oh, wait. Clemson. ETN. Higgins. Amari Rodgers. AJ Terrell, first round draft pick.
Having a great year.
Having a great year in Atlanta. So there's some of the four stars. A couple more here, including one of our favorites from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Harley. Just finished his career at Miami, by the way. Michael Carter, starting for the New York Jets. Paris Ford. Jalen Twyman, and Mekhi Becton, who left early and was a first-round pick of the New York Jets.
And solid signees, really good players.
All right.
Right?
Yep. Here's where it really gets interesting.
This is when it gets fun.
These are three stars, okay? Look at this page. A.J. Dillon, Ben Petrula, who had 60 starts at Boston College. Michael Carter II, who's in the secondary of the New York Jets. That's right. Carolina's Michael Carter and Duke's Michael Carter are playing for the same team. Victor Dimukeji is in the NFL. And Presley Harvin is the punter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dorian Etheridge is in Atlanta. Malik Cunningham still playing. Jeremiah Gimmel just finished. Daz Newsome is in the NFL. And Emeka Emezi is headed to the NFL.
Again, these are three-star players. Keep emphasizing three stars.
Oh, wait. Kenny Pickett was a three.
Huh, whatever happened to him?
Huh, I don't know. Charles Snowden went to the NFL. He's in Chicago. Rayshard Ashby was second-team All-ACC. Ja'Cory Roberson was second-team All-ACC. And Sage Surratt went to the National Football League after being first-team All-ACC in 2019.
Yeah.
All right. Those are the three. Now it gets good. This is one of my favorites right here because there's one first-round pick who was a two-star, a first-round NFL draft pick. Here we go. Here are the four two-stars of 2017. Christian Darrisaw in the league, 23rd overall pick. Safe to say Alec Lindstrom's going to the league? Yes.
Guarantee you.
Yeah. Two-time first-team All-ACC. Bo Corrales is going to play one more year of college football, I believe. Joey Blunt has been often injured, but nonetheless a really talented player, third-team All-ACC in 2019. Two stars, first-round pick.
That is the snapshot for everybody that loses their mind today. When rankings come out, my coach hasn't – hey – you got to figure out who wants to compete, who wants to play, who wants to get better.
And here's the other part about this. You think it's just 17?
No.
Nope.
I'd be wrong.
We're going to show you two more years. This is an annual tradition. The real key ought to be who's the two or three that ends up being the first round pick.
Right. And again, there's always the flip side of this too. There are five stars that turn into bust. That can't play dead in a cowboy movie. And we're not going to spend time demeaning that player or team or coach.
Right.
I think the more interesting part of it are those ones that, guess what, turn out to be much better than advertised.
Yep.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Ready to roll? 2018?
Yeah, we're going to start with three stars.
Whatever you want, man.
2018 class.
I love going through this process because it's just another reminder again, don't lose your mind today. Whether it's having an all-star greatest day since sliced bread recruiting day or you're like, man, I can't believe we're not getting anybody.
You know good and well you're going to talk to those people that are losing their minds.
Today's a clown show on radio. Today's a clown show on radio. It is. Pack, I can't believe Joey Jones flipped from – Topeka A&M to, I'm like, whatever, dude.
Meatloaf.
You think you're going to sleep tonight? State. You need a moon pod to sleep tonight? What are you doing?
All right. 2018. Here's the class. These are the three stars. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. This is the ones that have of note, I should say. This is not all the three stars. We'd be here
look
an hour.
Look at the names on this list of three stars and what they turned into.
Right.
This goes back to the whole point that, hey, no matter what the number is, what number of stars he's got when he shows up on campus, who wants to put in the work, right? What coaching staff says, guess what? We got skills. Let's get the best out of our guys. That's what this is all about.
I mean, Dave Clawson said the week of the Wake-Duke game that Mateo Durant was down to Duke and Wake, I think, basically.
How about that?
Out of Plum Branch, South Carolina, which is as big as your basement. Tyler Vrabel, two-time ACC honorable mention. He could be, look, Tyler Vrabel could be all-conference in most leagues.
That's exactly right.
Shaka Hayward's been sensational at Duke.
Had a great year.
Amari Gaynor, nearly 200 career tackles. Malachi Carter, over 1,000 yards receiving. Javian Hawkins left early. Signed in Atlanta, is bounced around a little bit, but set a rushing yards record by running back at Louisville. I mean, that's part of the list. Here we go with some more. Oh, wait, did Greg Rousseau do anything?
Well, he was a great story.
Yeah, he was.
Right, because he was a guy that a lot of folks thought, man, he was going to be this, going to be that.
And Mark Richt talked about him getting injured as a freshman.
Right, yeah. And you know, again, I it's a tip of the cap to all these guys that have a dream that said, guess what, I can play. Yeah. I don't want to hear some recruiting analysts put a label on me. Let me get to work. Yeah. And that is what this is all about.
Yeah, Andre Sisco, he left early, went to the league. James Mitchell.
The governor.
Uh-huh. Got hurt this year, but had a great career at Virginia Tech going to the league.
Wishing him the best, too.
Absolutely.
Easy guy to root for.
Jermaine Waller, two-time All-ACC. Sam Hartman, everybody knows what a great career. By the way, if he was in the 18 class, and we got to check Sam Hartman's calendar, figure out what that is. I think he may have two left.
I think Freddie Couples is a sophomore.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that photo, I know you can't really see it on television.
A.T. Perry on this list.
The boys back in the smart folks in Bristol need to go get a Freddie Couples picture when he was at Houston and superimpose it right there with Sam Hartman. I swear to God, they look like twins.
A.T. Perry's also on that list. He's had a
great career.
Incredible career.
Yep.
All right, let's jump down. There's a couple more on here, I think. Michael Juergens was on this list. He's outstanding center in the ACC.
The list goes on. And you could do this for any league.
Billy Kemp.
Right? Let me emphasize this. This is not just an ACC thing.
Right.
This is a college football thing.
Sure is. Nick Skiba's on the list. Of course, kickers are always.
Kickers never getting love. I mean, kickers. When's the last time there was a kicker? Five-star kicker. You know, that. You know, the guys. And let me say one other thing, too. For folks that really do take recruiting seriously, and there's a
bless
lot.
Bless their heart, and bless their heart.
And we're the last two guys to talk to, right? To be completely transparent. The recruiting analysts that do this for a living are unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. The amount of information and detail, they work their tails off. And I know sometimes they love to get ripped and by people. You know, how could you miss on Joey Jones, right? I mean, hey, listen, when you put that many numbers out there, you're going to have some that are whiffs. But the recruiting analysts do an incredible job with information. It's become an entire industry.
Right.
Where today basically is Christmas morning.
Right.
For all of them.
Yeah.
And so I just want to give a shout out to all the folks that do love recruiting, that keep up with it religiously. Good for y'all. Really. Great for y'all. But it does not necessarily define – hey, that's the best team on the planet Earth.
You need to ask Luke's when he's here on Friday who maybe his biggest miss was. And also,
he doesn't want to talk about failures.
Well, I'm going to counter it with who was also the biggest success story that he thought would be a good player, but was Mark Lowe by the consensus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why when we give you the breakdown of the two stars and the three stars, to me, that's the most interesting part of all of this looking backwards. And that's why I've always thought when people come out today and start recruiting a list of the rankings, it's really not fair. You right. really should be – today, you should be ranking what you did in 2019 and say, hey, listen, here's who won the 2019 college football signing day.
Right.
A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because now you know, 2 years into it, who's developed, who's not even on the list. I mean, to me, that'd be the other thing. And I don't want to waste time on our network being negative in the sense of, hey, here's all the guys that failed. That doesn't serve a purpose to anybody. But it's amazing how often you'll go through a recruiting list from 2 years ago, whatever school you pick, and then realize, hey, how many of these guys are even on the roster? Forget about have they competed, have they contributed, are they all ACC, all anything?
Mm-hmm.
Who's still on the roster?
Right.
You'd be amazed at how many folks are out of here.
I used to, back when we were kids, I'd get the Street and Smith College basketball book every year, and they would have the high school rankings. And I always remember like 2-3 years later, I used to keep the Street and Smith every year. I had like 14 straight years of Street and Smith as a kid. And you would go back and look at the high school rankings. Well, some of them had gone pro. Some of them had been unbelievable college stars. And then there were guys that were like the Street and Smith All-America first team. And you were like, what happened to that guy?
Right.
Well, same thing.
Local Wendy's.
The process still plays itself out. Sometimes it just plays itself out on a larger stage, right?
And now with the transfer portal, it really gets complicated.
Yeah,
folks are out of here.
Yeah, I mean, the real thing we're talking about here is, some of these kids are going to sign today and may not be there in 18 months, 2 years.
Oh, well, less than that. There'll be some kids that sign that show up thinking, hey, I'm going to be the starting fill-in-the-blank.
Right.
And get on campus and realize, well, wait a minute, man, I thought I was the guy.
I mean, look at a guy who was projected as the number one player in America 2 years ago has just announced he's transferring to South Carolina.
That's right. No, you got Quinn Ewers. He's a guy that left early in high school.
He never played a snap, right?
Well, he played. He never threw a pass, I don't believe, and got a seven-figure deal to go to Ohio State with his name, image, and likeness and said, some pretty good players here. I'm out of here. I'm going back to Texas and going to sign another huge deal, apparently. Again, good for him. I'm all for it, man. If you can make seven figures at Ohio State, never throw a pass, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
We should all be so lucky.
here are the four stars, and this is worth showing you. These are four stars. Brennan Armstrong, Justin Ross. Their careers. We hope Ross gets healthy now. That's the number one thing for Justin Ross. Asante Samuel Jr., De'Ami Brown. Pretty strong now.
But, four stars should be good, right? I mean, again, in layman's terms, if you're a four-star player, you expect them to have an impact on your club.
Here we go. Devin Leary, Aleem McNeil's in the league. Peyton Wilson, he's coming back to play more football.
Tells you that Dave Dorn did a pretty nice job recruiting, didn't he?
Sure did. Trey Turner, Dax Hollifield.
Yeah.
Dax Hollifield's coming back, too. That guy is a marvelous college football player. Great for the game, too. Devin Leary, he's on the way to having quite a career in Raleigh. Quite a career. Pretty good list of fours, isn't it?
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, and remember if we go back to the 17 class a moment ago, remember where NC State was marked down toward the bottom? Like, what was it?
51.
51?
That's what I'm saying, that you just, don't go crazy today. Too high or too low.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. It's kind of a kiss of death if you get one of these top 10, top 15 classes. Yeah. Your fan base immediately thinks, well, that means we're a top 10 team. No, it does not.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
I mean, you go back and look. Let's go back to this thing at 17 we showed you at the front. NC State down here, 51. Syracuse, 49. I mean, think about the players they signed. Well,
here's the other thing I'll tell you. Here's Wake Forest, right? Dead last, 65.
Played the championship.
How many bowl games have they been to every year since then? Every year.
Right.
I mean, coaching matters.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Figuring out who fits what we do matters.
Absolutely right.
Really matters.
Absolutely right.
And Florida State's sitting in the four spot. I don't want to dwell on negatives on this show, but the Noles have had a tough stretch here. Right?
Yeah.
Just because you got dudes doesn't mean it equals wins necessarily.
By the way, at 8:15, we're going to go through 2019 and 2020.
It's an eye-opener.
Whoa, is it an eye-opener.
It really is.
Some of you who were cranked up a couple of years ago, you had no reason to be worried.
so, again, just keep it between the ditches today and don't go wild when, oh, my God, and, I can't believe we missed out on Hector Lopez. He was supposed to be the guy.
By the way, 19 and 20 are also portal and NIL influenced.
Becomes even wackier.
Right.
As we're getting ready to prove to you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Yesterday, we had a chance to sit down and visit with the new head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. Mario Cristobal has done a phenomenal job wherever he's been. And now he's coming back to South Florida, where he grew up, where he played ball, and really kind of where he cut his coaching teeth to get in this industry. And we started our visit yesterday asking him about coming back to South Florida and probably one of the more unique experiences of his career.
It's a little bit different when you played at a place, and I don't know how many head coaches around the country have that opportunity to have been able to play for national champions and return to their alma mater.
I'm not worried about Miami's future recruiting classes because you're going to do a great job, but here's what I do know. You know what? You got yourself a quarterback, and when you get to your first practice and you start watching tape and everything else, this guy, TVD, he can sling it. You got yourself a gunslinger back there at QB.
Really excited about him and actually the entire quarterback room. Those guys are talented guys. They're competitors. They've got great energy about them, a great presence about them. They're natural leaders. And starting, of course, with Tyler and the way that he performed this past season, just incredible numbers, incredible leadership. It means the world to him. There's nothing he can't do. And when you have a quarterback like that, you surround him with the right pieces. There's a lot of the right pieces here already. Guys are looking forward to working out, developing, jumping in the offseason program. There's a lot that we're bringing to the table because it's our obligation to make sure that they have the best experience possible and develop at the highest level. So we can't wait. We can't wait to get started. We're going to wait till after the bowl game, let them finish what they started. The coaches here deserve that. The players deserve that. But then we're ripping and running.
I was getting ready to ask you, I think the timing and the script on how all this works from a priority standpoint is interesting, and you just cleared up some of that. So the current staff handles kind of the way it ends for the regular season and the postseason. Meanwhile, here's this thing tomorrow called signing day. How does that work? I can only imagine how fast that train's running right now from your perspective.
It runs fast, especially when you arrive, what, 5, 6, 7 days out. You got to roll, and there's some really good players that were already committed to the class and a couple of others that you want to join the class. And you want to make sure that when you arrive, if you're not familiar with everyone that was targeted or whatnot, that you do take the time to understand how it fits and if it does fit, because you have a certain amount of scholarships. Certainly, recruiting has changed. The landscape has changed. The transfer portal certainly makes things extremely different. But we want to make sure that whoever we bring into the program is a great fit, has a great understanding of what we want to do and how we want to do it and how they play a huge part in it, how we can develop them. It's all about the fit. So either way, we're excited. We got some, we have some certainly some really big battles going down to the wire, and we're looking forward to those battles.
Coach, it's a new regime at Miami, not only with you and the staff and so forth from a football perspective, but also from a leadership standpoint. You know, we've had a chance to know Dan Radakovich for a long, long time with his work at Clemson and Georgia Tech, et cetera. Now he's now running the show at Miami. Talk about the interactions you had with Dan and the team that you look forward to having moving forward at Miami.
Well, certainly has a reputation for being one of the best, if not the best, in the business. A visionary. He understands how to do it at the highest level. And he's seen it grow. And the details of all those things are critically important to us pushing forward here at the University of Miami. Obviously, his familiarity with the university plays a huge role in it as well. But he's driven, energetic. I mean, it's exactly what we needed and wanted. So really enthused, fired up to work with him.
Coach, in kind of the emotions of this whole thing, and I know, and it's hard because it's going 100 miles an hour right now, but coming back to South Florida, where you grew up, played there, obviously all those ties, and yet, the former teammates of yours and the former players seem to be as excited as at any point here in the last decade by just your arrival. What kind of sense of value does that mean to you right now?
Oh, that's everything. You know, when it's as humbling as you can imagine. There's no words to describe it. And it hits you hard. And it makes everything mean that much more. It already means the world to myself, to the guys we surround ourselves with. I mean, this for me has always been a vocation. It's never been a job, never. And to see guys that I played with, that I had the opportunity to coach, guys that, you know, we sweated, we bled together, and we laid it on the line, and now they're ready to they've created a groundswell of energy and support. So this thing is, it's hot right now. And it's got a lot of momentum, and we want to capitalize on that and make sure that we galvanize the entire University of Miami Hurricane family, far and close, to make sure that we forge forward with a tremendous amount of juice, energy, and momentum.
During your press conference, I was fascinated by the analogy of bring it in tight. And not just the players and not just your staff, but everybody, bring it in tight. I mean, it's almost like now – We're doing what everybody's talked about doing, but we got to make sure we stay together in that process. How important is that going to be between now and spring, and then spring to the kick next September, I guess?
Well, it has to be always. I think number one is, I mean, there's no way to do it without sticking together, because there are some painful steps that you cannot skip. That's inevitable. And when those things hit, when adversity hits, you got to make sure that your people are really your people. And that you're finding ways to overcome, you're finding ways to get better, you're finding ways to get tighter. And really, the tougher it gets, the better we should become as a family and as a football team. And that's easily said, hard to do, but you want to lay the groundwork for that, because when you watch from afar, that's the one thing that you want to make sure that is clearly understood, right? Families are watching, recruits are watching, the future of the University of Miami is watching. I mean, to give you an example, you know, my wife and I, we have a foundation. We're going to jump right into the community, and we know what this community needs and how we can better serve it, right? So it's got to start at the grassroots level and work all the way up to the alumni, the extended Hurricane family. There's so many Hurricane fans that never went to school here but know and feel the passion and the energy and the game changer that the University of Miami is when it's on. And so all those things combined, it's really powerful. And it's time to get this thing rolling.
The first of many interviews with Coach Cristobal. And again, great to have him at Miami. Great to have him back in the ACC. And, I mean, I just think the expectations are going to go through the roof with Miami having one of their own now back running the show. No disrespect to Manny Diaz. He landed on his feet going to Penn State. And I think he'll do a terrific job for James Franklin. But I can just tell you, man, Miami fans are fired up about Coach Cristobal being in town.
I think that it's going to be very interesting by the time we get to the spring to see just what the landscape looks like around that program. You know, not just, I mean, not literally physically with facilities and things like that. Who's on his staff, right? Who's in, who's out type deal. How fast do you think he can turn that? I think the demand to get it turned, the infusion of the financial side of this, which we've talked about.
Define turned. I mean, turn makes it sound like they're 3-9, and can they turn this thing around? They're much better off than that.
Okay, right. But what I'm getting when I say turned is, what's their philosophy? What's their structure going to look like? By the time we finish in spring, you're going to have an idea who's on the staff. What are they going to look like offensively? We know Tyler Van Dyke is sensational. You know, his background, obviously, he knows offensive line play. So what's the defensive side look like? Things like that. I think it's going to be really interesting to watch and see. This could be a flip the switch, they're relevant in 22 type thing. You know that.
I will say this, though. I've heard this a lot.
You're right. We have.
I've heard this a lot from Miami. You know, and there'll be all kinds of hype. TVD being back.
Right.
There will be crazy hype for him next year from a Heisman perspective. Is Miami ready to win the ACC? You know, Clemson kind of going through this transition with their staff, which we'll talk about with Dabo's deal here at the top of the hour.
Yep.
But I've heard that a lot, though. I mean, let's be honest with Miami. We keep hearing that, whether it was Mark Richt, Manny Diaz, Golden. You go through all of them. Shannon, Miami's ready to roll. I got it.
Right.
Got it. You know, can you turn the clock back and be the U from yesteryear? I don't think anybody can do that.
Right.
I mean, Bama is the closest thing we've seen. But, man, those Miami teams of 20 years ago, I don't know if that's ever going to be replicated again.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it's just college football is in a different place. Miami's in a different place. Mm-hmm. But I have no doubt that Mario Cristobal can have fantastic success at Miami. Of course, the Canes are expecting it.
Yeah, no doubt. And Dan Radakovich yesterday in his introductory comments talked about the environment on game day as well. The environment at Hard Rock. And
well, we talked about it with Coach.
Yeah.
You know, how do you take the old Orange Bowl, that vibe, that stigma that, man, you go down there, you're going to get your rear end kicked. Mm-hmm. How do you take that to the Hard Rock? You know what? Normally I've found if you have a lot of great players, it helps.
Yeah.
I mean, all those smoke and mirrors and scoreboard stuff and fireworks, those are cool.
Yep.
But you better have dudes, man.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.